What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
The AFC to me, because we're sort of ish at the halfway point. I know next week is a little bit more like the halfway point because most teams will have had their bye, and so then some teams will have played eight and some teams will have played nine, and that's but anyway, we're kind of close to there, and I think it's taking shape. Like, the Bills and Patriots to me are both going to the playoffs, and then obviously the Colts are going to win the South, and then the North is now, especially with Pittsburgh losing last night, not as clear as people think. I still, God, this is going to be crazy to say, I still favor the Ravens to win that division. They're 2-5.
Well, the odds, I was telling you during the break, yeah, the Ravens are minus 122. The Steelers are plus 118.
Yep. So the Ravens are still favored to win the division.
Yes, according to FanDuel, yeah, they're favoring the Ravens. And just the Houston Texans are plus 260 to make the playoffs.
Right.
And the Colts are minus 2,500. So you'd have to lay $2,500 to win 100. So the expectation is, Colts, you win the AFC South.
Sure.
Way to go. And so if you're the Texans now, you're having to worry about either the Patriots or the Bills, the Chiefs, the Broncos, or the Chargers.
And the Chargers.
Two of those teams.
Right. So,
and then, the South, Jacksonville is another team that is
about them. Yeah,
in the mix.
They're 4-3, no doubt. So let's say, let's pretend, because the Ravens have a really favorable schedule for the next 5 weeks.
Yep.
And they do have Lamar. Officially, John Harbaugh just said Lamar Jackson is expected to play on Thursday night. Full participant in practice today, and Lamar is going to play on Thursday night against the Dolphins. Pretty winnable game.
Favored by 7.5.
There you go.
On the road.
All right, so let's say the Ravens make their move, and they end up still winning the AFC North. Colts in the South. Bills and Patriots are both a division winner, and one of them is a wild card. And then that leaves the division winner for the AFC West. And then that group going for the other two wild card games. You mentioned Jacksonville and Houston. There's Pittsburgh also at 4-3. There's the Chargers at 5-3. There's the Chiefs at 4-3 with a game later on tonight. So that's a big group. And basically two of those, maybe five teams, will get in. And Houston right now is at the bottom of the group, even with their win yesterday.
Yes, and if you look at NFC, AFC, what's it going to take kind of a conversation, in the AFC, 11 wins might not be enough. You might lose a tiebreaker at 11-6 because, as you mentioned, like the Chargers, Chiefs, and Broncos, those are all going to be 10 or 11 win teams, I'm afraid. And our Chiefs bet with the midday show not looking good.
No, don't stress.
Well, I'm not stressing. I'm telling you what the odds makers have it right now.
Well,
the Chiefs are minus 800 to make the playoffs.
Right, but that's
heavy favorites.
Fan perception.
I get it, but
they're very good. But like, I'm not gonna. Okay, they whip the Raiders. That's fun. First of all, play the game tonight. I expect them to win, but play the game. How will you feel if they were to lose tonight?
Depends on what the pick is.
I mean,
the pick is in.
No, I know, but understand that. Let's say they ended
Thank
up at
you.
4-4 tonight. Have y'all looked at the next three games for the Chiefs?
Not easy.
Buffalo, Denver, Indy.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Go ahead and tell me that they're a lock.
No, they're no lock. And my point is that I think 11-6 is no guarantee in the AFC, because Buffalo at 5-2. They're in second place, and you mentioned the Chargers at 5-3. There's a lot of teams, I think, in the AFC that are going to win 11 games and not win their division. Like, Jacksonville could be an 11-win team.
I don't know if those are 11-win teams.
The Chargers could win 11.
Yeah, they could.
You know, they're allowed to.
Yeah, a lot of them feel more like, Jacksonville feels more like a 9-win team, maybe
Buffalo,
a 10-win
New
team.
England.
Yeah, those teams are both going. They're going.
Right.
They're
going
to go.
But if you look at, like, how they're going to go, you're probably going to have Buffalo and New England. They're both going to win 11, yeah, you would guess. And
at least.
Right. And then I think Denver and the Chargers are both going to win 11. And if the Chiefs get thrown in there, I'm just thinking that in the AFC, the bar to make the playoffs is going to be higher than the NFC.
No doubt.
And this goes to your earlier conversation about the Niners. I do think that they could go 10-7 and be the 7 seed. I think 11 wins in the NFC absolutely guarantees you a spot, whereas the AFC, I think it'd be tougher.
10 might even do it. And again, that's why if you're a Niner fan, I'm sorry to say it, but you're rooting for the Chiefs tonight. Knock Washington down to 3-5. The Cowboys are 3-4-1. They've given up the most points in the conference, and it's not even close. And then the other contenders, the Bears are 4-3, the Vikings are 3-4, the Panthers are 4-4, the Falcons are 3-4. You have a game in hand against them. Like, I truly believe if this goes the way I think it'll go, and I'm going to assume relative health for all of these teams, and I mean that from this as a starting point. Like, the Niners are not going to have relative health this year. Their two best players on defense are gone. But relative health from this point going forward, which means no earth-shattering season-ending injuries, to me, having watched all of this, it's very clear who the seven teams that have the inside track in the NFC are. And it's Philadelphia, Green Bay, Detroit, Tampa, Seattle, the Rams, and the Niners. Those are the teams. And that's who I think is going to go to the playoffs. And the Niners may well be the seven seed. And yes, you want that. Yes, you do.
As opposed to the 8 seed, I'm with you.
Of course.
Get in the tournament. You never know what can happen. And also, even if the worst happens, which is you play one game and you lose, all these young pups you have on your defense, especially, they get playoff experience. And that's not nothing in my book.
No, I agree with you completely. Plus, you never know what the hell's going to happen when you get there. You never know. And I think we said as recently as 2 weeks ago, if the Niners were to make the playoffs and win one playoff game, I would consider that a very successful season.
Yeah.
When you consider the circumstances of where we sit right now. You know what I mean? If anybody was surprised by yesterday, my response to you would be, were you more surprised by that than you have been by the wins?
Like, no. If you want to look at like the most surprising games of the year, the Ram game is the most surprising game of the year. Yesterday was not surprising. It was a little disappointing.
No doubt.
Because, you know, the narrative all week was Kittle's back, and so now you can run the ball again. And, well, that wasn't the case yesterday because Houston's defense turns out to be maybe the best in football. And so, yeah, even George Kittle being back isn't enough for you to get that done. And so I look at yesterday and I tip the cap and say Houston was better. Houston was better in the trenches on offense. They were better in the trenches on defense. And that's the way it goes sometimes. But you sit here after 8 and you're 5-3. And if you want to talk about tiebreakers and dream scenarios for the wild card, if it's not a team in your division with whom you're tied, it's head-to-head, and you've got Carolina coming up, you've got Chicago coming up. The second tiebreaker is conference record. You have the best record in the conference. You and Philadelphia are 5-1 in the conference. So
that's crazy.
Even as you get down the road, if you wind up 10-7 in a tiebreaker, you're probably in a good spot tiebreaker-wise. And even if it's a team in your division head-to-head, let's just say you lose to Seattle and you're tied with them for the final playoff spot. Well, then it goes to conference record, and as I mentioned, you've got a better conference record.
Yeah, Seattle's already got 2 losses, and they've only played 4 games in the conference. They're 2-2. Yeah, don't forget that 3-0 division record. That 3-0 division record, that I see no way that that's not going to come in big-time handy down the road here at the end of the season. I go back and forth right now about how the 49ers should handle the next 8 days. The trade deadline is coming, and I'll say all this to say that the front office seems to view this year, the lack of going all in on the offensive line prior to the year, the lack of doing anything to this point, although I will remind people, major trades don't usually happen 2, 3, 4 weeks before the deadline. I know there's been some little ones. People are moving from the 5th to the 6th round to grab a guy. But, like, whatever. If the Niners had done that, would you be all excited? Probably not. The real deals are going to start here in the next 7 days. And I think the Niners will be involved. And I do think they should be involved. But I think they should take a very, very measured approach. It's why Kyle answers that question every time by talking about not just this year, but next year as well. Like, that's code. That is code for we're not winning the Super Bowl this year. We're allowed to. Something bananas could happen. All of those quarterbacks you just mentioned that are all up there in the top seven quarterback rating, they could all get hurt. So, yes, if Jalen Hurts and Jordan Love and Jared Goff and Baker Mayfield all get hurt, Matt Stafford too, then maybe the Niners can go to the Super Bowl this year. But I don't think that's going to happen. That's why they keep saying we will try to help this group out, provided that it helps us next year too.
Exactly.
That is code for next year's the year, we're hoping.
Right. It should be.
This year isn't the year.
It's not the year. It still can be the year. And if you get in the tournament and stuff, you never know. But you talked about trades, and just looking back at the Niners' significant trades of the past, Jimmy Garoppolo, October 31st. Yep. Emmanuel Sanders, October 20th. Christian McCaffrey, October 22nd. So we are in that window of now being a time where you can make those deals. And as you were talking about, trades that are going to help you now and in the future, McCaffrey's still here. Garoppolo, you got him and you signed him to a huge deal, a record-breaking deal. And Emmanuel Sanders was not a rental. He was here for a couple seasons. So I think that you're looking at something more along those lines. But then, like you're talking about, if you were to make a trade right now for one player, whatever player you think that you would want to go out there and get, even if it's Quinnen Williams. So you get Quinnen Williams and you think we can afford him and we're going to keep him. Great. You plug him right there in the middle. Are you now a Super Bowl team?
No.
You're better. You're deeper. Your defense got a lot better. But I think that if you wanted to go from where you are to being a legitimate Super Bowl type team, you're talking about adding four players or five players.
Yeah, and two
gutting your draft
and
picks.
Two of them better be Fred Warner and Nick Bosa, by the way.
Type players, sure.
Right.
But
no, like I don't think type players like that exist. There's no Fred Warner. He's 1-on-1.
Oh, for sure.
That's part of what I'm saying. I'm sorry. This is not their year. We can still have a blast. Okay. They can still go to the playoffs. I will still sit down with red and gold on and root my ass off. You should too. I think there's value in all of that. I've never been a Super Bowl or bust mentality. I don't even understand it. Does that literally mean you're only happy at the end of a year when your team wins it all? Are you pissed 98% of the time?
Well, more than that.
Like, what are we doing here? So there's tremendous value in trying to be a good team and running a good program. But this is not a Super Bowl year. I don't even think it necessarily was prior to the injuries. But that's not a crazy opinion, is it? I don't think they can win it all without Fred Warner. I just don't think that.
Well, just go back to where before Fred and Nick got hurt. If you had them healthy all year, you would think differently about whether or not you could still be a Super Bowl team. And you get into the soft underbelly of the schedule, as you and I have talked about. You come out of the bye and you've got Indy, and that's about it. You do have Seattle last week, but by and large, you've got some easier opponents. And if you had those guys, you would feel better about what we saw yesterday, which is no pass rush, a lack of tackling, as my old buddy Whitey Gleason used to say, lackling.
Yep.
There was a lot of lackling yesterday, lack of tackling. And your young secondary got exposed because you're asking them to do more than you want them to do. So there's a ripple effect to it. I do believe if they hadn't lost Bosa and Warner, you'd feel a little bit differently about, at 5-3, what this team could still be.
For sure. Absolutely. I would still call it kind of an outside chance type thing, but none of us ever want to admit this. Going to the Super Bowl is always kind of an outside chance thing. That's just the way the Super Bowl
operates.
Unless
you're Kansas City.
Then
it's expected because you go every year.
Not this year.
Hope not.
But I said that last year, too. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Listen, I think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch tend to be pretty honest with everybody. They're not going to tell you, like, that doesn't mean they're forthcoming. Those are two different words. Forthcoming is like, dude, is Brock playing this week? Yes. That's forthcoming. They're always going to be like, well, we'll see. We'll see. But the other things that they will do, if you're really listening, I believe, they will tell you what's going on. And that's what I hear when I listen to this. Kyle has been trying to tell us that this is not the year.
Nothing changes anything. It has to do with what's available out there, and does it help us this year? Does it help us next year? So usually as things get closer, you get a little more idea on who's real and who's not, and we'll evaluate that for the short term and long term.
By the way, go ahead and get ready for next Monday when he says that again. Whether they win or lose against the New York Giants, Kyle Shanahan will be asked about the trade deadline, and he will say the same thing he has now said 4 weeks in a row, which is nothing changes our philosophy. You still do your due diligence. We check it all out, and we're looking for people that can help us both this year and next year, because you're always trying to do that. But he was asked if this felt similar to 2019 when they got Emmanuel Sanders, and in a moment of true honesty, he looked at Tim Kawakami and went, no. No.
Yeah.
He goes, that team had a Super Bowl defense. This team, how many rookies or second-year players are starting on the defense?
Probably just at first blush, even if you want to throw in third-year guys, because I think that D. Winters is a third-year guy.
Sure.
But he's a third-year guy who almost never played. You've probably got seven first- or second- or third-year guys. You got Williams and, I mean, depending on who you want to count
right
up front.
Like, is Collins a starter, technically?
Sure. I mean, he's rotational. Okay. And then you go to Bethune and the aforementioned D. Winters. And the secondary, you've got Green and Mustafa, Brown and Mustafa.
Upton Stout.
Yep. I mean, that's a quick seven right there.
What the hell are we thinking is going to happen?
Well, we're thinking that these are the 1981 49ers, Mark.
That's the hope. When
they started four rookies in the secondary, including a guy named Ronnie Lott.
Right.
And they won the whole damn thing.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Who are the other rookies?
Carlton Williamson.
Carlton Williamson.
Dwight Hicks.
Was Eric Wright one of them?
I think that's the fourth, yeah.
Yeah, those are great players.
Well, then these guys should be that great. What's wrong with you?
Great, great, great players. And how much easier is it to be a rookie or a second-year player and perform great if you have some veterans who are kind of holding it down and allowing you to do your thing? Like, that's the issue here. Like, who do these guys even look to? They're looking at the green dot. The green dot's a second-year player who's a seventh-round draft pick. What are we doing? You know? So, I don't know, man. The more I sit here and talk to you, I'm like not bugged by yesterday's loss at all. They're actually in a fantastic position. And I continue to look at the wins in many ways as more eyebrow-raising than the losses. And I wish that I wasn't saying that because I hate operating that way, but that is how I feel when I sit down and watch them. I don't like... There is so little expectation, and I don't really know how it could be any other way. Did we sit down yesterday and expect, well, Robert Saleh is going to have them ready? You don't even know what their names are. How's he going to have them ready? What does that mean?
It means you don't allow C.J. Stroud to just chill, Netflix and chill, and pick you apart.
No, that's exactly what it means.
That's not what I expected.
They don't. Why?
Dwight Hicks, by the way, third-year player on that team before somebody calls in and blows me up.
How would we expect, again, be pleasantly surprised, but why would you expect anything? Why would you expect those players to just snap fingers and be great?
I would expect them to be better than they were, and I would expect Robert Saleh to do what he did against Atlanta, and he tried yesterday. They did a lot of the same things with zone dogs where, you know, you show that you're going to blitz six or seven, and then three or the four of them would rush, and then the other guys would drop back into zone, and you got picked apart.
You had Bryce Huff.
For part of the game, right?
All of it.
Yeah.
Got hurt with a minute and a half left to go.
But you have high draft capital. And these guys are more than halfway through your rookie year. Like Mykal Williams, you're a first round pick.
Yeah.
Go ahead and get in there and wreck the game a little bit. And I didn't really see him making too many game wrecking plays. So
I mean, he's in his eighth game. He's
you're going up against an offense with wide receivers that nobody's ever heard of, including D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah.
You've got a run game that's just okay. You've been down on Nick Chubb the whole year.
Totally.
Saying, he's washed.
Yeah.
And, you know, Marks had a couple of nice plays.
Woody Marks completely outplayed him yesterday.
Well, and Woody Marks had a couple plays that were absolute breakdowns. One in the ground game where you had two Niner safeties and corners who just absolutely got sucked up. Neither one of them contained the edge, and Marks just bounced it out. Quick 25 on the ground. There was just some fundamental mistakes that I was surprised by yesterday.
I get that. I'm not going to argue whether they played well yesterday. They clearly did not. But again, even when rookies and second-year guys perform at a high level, it's usually because they might be, you know, next to somebody like. I felt that way most of the year about D. Winters, didn't you? It's like, why is D. Winters performing really well? Well, he's kind of next to Fred Warner. So it's easier to go do your thing. And I don't think D's been terrible when Fred went out, but he hasn't been as good. And that's not surprising. Like, that's their life. Like, I'm not going to ask Mykal Williams, you're a first-round draft pick, so now you get to wreck the game week 8 by yourself with no other good pass rushers around you at all. Like, it just... I'm not trying to be a wet blanket, but to think that this team in this particular situation is set up in a good spot to go win football games on the road, they're not. They're just not right now. They have got to get some people back, and whether that's Huff or whether that is acquiring people through trade or whatever it is, they're going to keep looking like this. They'll look like this again on Sunday. Jackson Dart will not get touched. Unless something in this mixture is different.
Right. Well, make it be different. And by scheming things up a little bit differently, Mykal Williams had 3 tackles. And I'm sorry, you're a first-round pick. You need to be more impactful than that.
Yeah, by yourself.
Not by yourself.
I'm using your word, complimentary football.
Absolutely. The defense yesterday, they were on the field a ton, but early in the game, they were bend but don't break, and eventually they did break.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.